7:30 The Ump presents The Griff Show with Scott Griffin. Call now 1-866-485-WUMP. That's 1-866-485-9867. Now kicking your afternoon drive into high gear. Here's Griff.
This here on a Wednesday, hump day here in the North Alabama area. We appreciate you being with us. Great show on today. Got a lot of stuff going on. Jake Locker scheduled to join us. Tennessee Titans quarterback. He played for Alabama's new offensive coordinator at Washington. We'll talk to him about that and about going through the combine. Also, we hope to have Wes Bunting on, NFL scouting combine writer as well. We also have thoughts from the Madison Academy girls and boys. They lost today in the final 48 of the final four at the Alabama High School Basketball Championships. We'll have more on them in a moment. Also, Anthony Grant, head coach of Alabama, is there safely in the NCAA tournament, we believe. Our next guest is a guy that has really looked good for the Tennessee Titans, coming off the bench behind Matt Hasselbeck, showing a great affinity to rally his team, and he's on for several reasons, not one of which is we carry the Titans right here on our station in Huntsville. Jake Locker joins us. Jake, Scott Griffin here on The Griff Show. How in the world are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for letting us interrupt workouts. I guess you're Ken O'Brien's helping you, former Jets quarterback, right?
Yeah, I was down there in California for a couple weeks throwing with him. I'd thrown with him before the draft last year, and really enjoyed working with him. So I went down and spent some time. You know, my wife and her family and stuff's from down there. So went down and saw the in-laws and was able to work out with Ken. It was great.
You're a smart guy. Kill two birds with one stone. I like that.
That's right.
Let the wife visit the family, get some workouts in. What kind of stuff did he show you that Sarkisian and some of the others hasn't? Just some little quarterback things, quarterback-to-quarterback kind of things?
I don't think it was as much that they hadn't, things they hadn't showed me. It was just I think, you know, when you're preparing for the draft, it's a different deal than when you're getting ready to play in a football game. You know, I think Coach Nussmeier and Coach Sark, when I was there, their focus was to get me ready to play every Saturday. And sometimes that's not always on the small little details of you as a thrower, the simple mechanics of it, you know, because you're trying to understand the offense, you're trying to understand your reads and progressions and what a defense is going to do to you. So you don't have the time to be able to really sit back and focus on what you do individually as a player. And you know, the college coaches are so limited in the offseason as well that I think it was one of the first times for me I just got to spend time with somebody where it didn't matter what the play was. It didn't matter what the defense was. It was just, hey, this is some things mechanically that you can tweak a little bit that will help you out.
And, you know, I think we're seeing a lot of that, isn't it, because of the sophistication of it. Tom Brady with his guy, Tebow's out there with the former Auburn guy, Noel Melzoni. I think Phillip Rivers is out there with him too. So it's good just to have another set of eyes, right, on footwork and throwing motion and all those kind of things, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can always tape yourself and watch it, but you know that way it's on the field. It comes from a different perspective than your own, and it's something that I think that you're able to fix right there on the field, and then you start to build that muscle memory, and it becomes second nature to you.
Now, I want to ask you a little bit about draft stuff, but let's talk about last year first. You came in several times for Matt Hasselbeck when he was dinged up, and I think you've got to be pleased with what you displayed out there, 99 quarterback rating, and had some moments, showed some mobility. I think the Titans would be excited, were you?
What I was most pleased with probably was just that I wasn't overwhelmed. I felt like what I had done throughout the week to prepare got me ready to play, and that was one of my goals coming in. You know, it's obviously playing at a new level, and the guys are a lot better, and you see a lot of different things. So from a preparation standpoint, that was one of my goals, is just to make sure that every week when I went into the game, if I got an opportunity to play, I felt confident in what we were doing because I had prepared the right way, and that's how I felt when I went in and played. So I think that's what I was most pleased with. and I think that allowed me to play loose and play free. And you know, obviously there's a lot to learn. There's a lot of film, you know, that I'm looking at this off season and places to improve. But, you know, I think, I think one thing I can really be pleased with was the preparation process.
Yeah, and for folks listening in, Jake came in against the Falcons late November, a couple of touchdowns, 140 yards, and then ended up four passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown. And what I liked is, like you said, you were prepared, which means what I saw is the team was confident in you. You know, it wasn't just, oh, here's this rookie coming in. That they were confident in you because they knew the work you'd put in that week.
Yeah, I think that's the goal as any player on a football team. I think you want, throughout the week of work, the body of work you put in, you want the other guys to see that it means something to you. And that, like you said, when you go out on the field and step on the field, they can count on you, whether that's as a starter or as a backup. I think that you want to have that respect to your teammates anytime you get the opportunity to play on a team.
Our guest, Jake Locker, a few minutes. Titans quarterback, played in Washington, the combine. You're not far removed from the combine stuff. What was that like? Is it overkill? Is it analyzation to crazy? Or you think it's legitimate to express what kind of player you can be? Because I know you had a great one and ended up being real highly drafted, even though you were expected to be highly drafted anyway. But I thought your combine was good.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, I think it's just part of the process. You know, it's gotten to the point now where I think every team dissects everything they can because of the investment they make in these players. You know, it's a substantial financial investment that they make in these guys, so they want to find out everything they can. I think the combine is just another part of that process. It gives you a kind of an insight into maybe athletic ability that you didn't know they had, or thought that maybe they were a little more athletic on tape than they showed in testing. So there's just different. It's just kind of like a cross check. I think most of the information they gather through your film study, but then that's just something that I don't ever believe the combine can really hurt you. I don't believe it'll truly hurt you. I do believe it can help you, though. But if you go out and run faster, then maybe you look on film or look like you got yourself in better shape, lost some weight, whatever it is, I think
right.
The combine can help you, but I really don't think it can hurt you.
Is the pro days important, too? Because the combine gives them one litmus test, and then you have your pro day. How important is that deal these days after the fact to show that you've worked on whatever they told you need to work on? I mean, is that key too?
I think you hit it right on the head when you said their main focus when they come back for a pro day is to see, hey, what kind of criticism did he get after the combine, and what has he done to remedy that? You know, has he spent time in the areas that people told him he needed to, and has it improved? And I think when you're able to show that you can do that in 3 weeks, in a month, it allows them to see that you're coachable, that you're willing to learn, you're willing to adjust, and you're going to take to the coaching they give you.
Yeah, and what were you measured at? Were you 6'2 at the deal? And
I was 6'2.5, yep.
6'2.5 and about what, 225, 230?
230, yeah.
230. And what did you run a 40 in? Do you remember?
It was 4.5. 4.52, something like that, I believe.
Jake, that's wide receiver tight end stuff.
Yeah, well.
Not that you should be going there.
It was a lucky day.
You look good at it. I want to ask you, because I think it's intriguing. Everybody's kind of spread crazy these days, certainly in high school, and college is getting that way. You were in a pro system, and then we'll get to the Alabama hire in a moment, but being in the pro system, how much you think that helped you get ready for where you are now?
I think it makes a difference in the transition. I think you're comfortable under center. So when you got to go take a snap under center, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I think making the adjustment to the shotgun is easier than making shotgun to under center. Just because there's a different dynamic there, and there's got to be a comfort level of not thinking about getting the snap, but just believing you're gonna. And then being able to play from there. And it's a different viewpoint. You're throwing the ball from a different point in the pocket. So I think all those things factor in a little bit, and there's a little bit of a learning curve when you haven't been under center a whole lot. So I think there is an advantage for, especially early on, for guys that have been in that more pro-style system, because that's what most the teams in the NFL are running.
Is it an odd dynamic to, and I know Matt, I'm going to assume, helps you out and you guys talk, and it's always an odd dynamic to me when the quarterbacks are battling for one spot, yet they help each other and all that. Now, obviously, he's at the end of his career. You're beginning yours. What is that like? And then I know going into this year, you're both kind of be battling for the starting quarterback job.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the nice part about our quarterback room is outside of football, we have a friendship that it goes outside of our meeting rooms and practice and that sort of thing. We spend a lot of time just as buddies hanging out, you know, and I think that for us, that allows us to both go out and compete and do everything we can to win that job. But, you know, when you're doing that, each guy is able to get the most out of himself as well. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, we help each other because he's going to push me to be that much better, and I hope that I do the same to him. And whoever does end up getting the opportunity to start, you know, I don't think there's going to be jealousy, resentment towards them. I know from my end, like I said, I'm going to prepare as if I was starting, and when I get my opportunities, I'm going to take advantage of them, but I'm going to help Matt as much as I can in whatever way I can, whether it's, you know, from the sideline, helping him see what defense is when he comes, if he's got a question about a certain play, whatever. You know, at the end of the day, I think all the guys in our room want to see each other have success. And, you know, we're gonna do our part to benefit in our team's success no matter what role it is, you know.
And you've already kind of shown what you can do in a very difficult thing, and that's coming in the middle of a game and getting it done. And then you see a guy like Aaron Rodgers who really sat for two or three years, or actually three, I think, now that I think about it, and came in without missing a beat. I think there's value, even if you're sitting, if you take it correctly, to being ready when your name is called and you are the guy. And obviously it's inevitable for you with the Titans, I think.
I hope so. I hope so. And like I said, like I told you guys earlier, I said the same thing last year. I'm going to just, you know, approach everything as if, you know, I get the opportunity to start at any point. And I'm going to prepare myself that way. I'm going to, you know, work that way and practice and, you know, try and earn that spot every week, whether you have it or not. You know, go at it with that kind of attitude, and I think that you allow yourself to grow and learn as a player week in and week out when you do that.
Just a couple of minutes left with Jake Locker. The Titans quarterback started Washington. A good player for the Titans last year coming in for the injured Matt Hasselbeck. He'll be gunning for the starting job this year with Hasselbeck. Doug Nussmeier, of course, Alabama hires him. He's one of your quarterback guys, along with Coach Sarkisian there in Washington. Just tell us about him for any fans listening in that are looking at him at Alabama. I know you had a good relationship with him at Washington.
Yeah, you know, I think that's probably one of the greatest things I can say about him. He's a great coach. He brings a lot to the table football-wise. But above and beyond that, I think the guys in that room, especially in that quarterback room, will be able to build a relationship with him that goes beyond the field. He's a guy that you can go in and talk to him about whatever, whenever, and you felt comfortable doing it, or at least I did. You know, still talk to him frequently and check in on him, and he does the same to me. Just he's a great person, and I think that speaks more about him than you know, all the accomplishments that he's made as a football coach.
And really, it is the mental, isn't it, when you're talking about your position, coach, for quarterback, because at your level, even in college, not that you don't need to work on fundamentals, but you know what I'm asking. It's more mental, and having a guy that played there and was successful there himself has got to help, because he kind of knows what you're going through, whether you're on cloud nine playing great or you've missed seven in a row. You know,
exactly.
He would know what to say, right?
Yeah, he understands what it takes to be successful at position. He understands when you're struggling, what you're going through. And he coaches from that stance. You know, he's not in the room telling you it's easy, because, you know, it's not. It's not an easy thing to do, but he does expect a lot out of you. And so I think with the combination of that, he gets the most out of you, because you want to play not only for your teammates, but you want to play for him. You want to be successful for him, because you see how much he invests throughout the week and throughout the year and how much it means to him for you to have success. And so I think any time as a player, when you see that from a coach, you're going to want to give everything you can to him. And that's how I always felt playing for him. And I really think that having a relationship with him that I did allowed me to be in the position I am today.
Yeah, finally, he's not called plays. I'm sure he was involved when you guys were doing it. Some fans were worried that he hasn't technically called plays, but I know when you've got an offensive head coach like Sarkisian and him, really it's a conglomeration effort anyway. I mean, it's combined, right?
Yeah, it's pretty collaborative. You know, they put the game plan together. They do everything together. There's a lot of input from Coach Nuss on the headphone throughout the course of the game as to what he's seeing, what he liked, maybe something to get us going or to keep us rolling, whatever it was. You know, there was a lot of back and forth between him and Coach Sark.
Better athlete, you or your wife, who was a softball player, and Washington was pretty good, if I remember.
She's the only one that's got a national championship ring. So I think
national,
I that.
That's right.
She's
they won it. They won that. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Did she get a ring?
Yeah, oh yeah, she's got a pretty sweet ring. Pretty sweet ring.
That's unbelievable. And then you were drafted by the Angels, and then when you see the cash they're laying out the pool holes, do you think, crap, I picked the wrong thing?
No. I love the game of football, and I'm happy that it's all worked out the way it has.
It's going to be good. Well, we're glad to have you in the Music City. We appreciate you hanging out with us here in Huntsville. And like I said, we carry the Titans games up there, and we try to get up there as much as we can. Jake, thanks for hanging out with us. Enjoy the stay out there with the family and getting better. And maybe we'll talk to you when you get back to the Music City. We appreciate it.
That sounds good. Really good to talk to you. Look forward to seeing you out there.
Thank you, buddy. That's Jake Locker. He's the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. Good one, man. I think he's got what it takes. Good size, good athleticism, good head on his shoulders. And, again, he came in for Matt Hasselbeck and did well. That's hard to do with as a rookie, but period, it's hard to do. When you come in the middle of a game and can rally your team and you see that they're confident in you, that tells you he's getting it done on the practice field, and we saw it in games too. So good to have Jake Locker on the Griff Show. 22 minutes after the hour, we'll break. We'll come back. We'll talk high school basketball. Jack Doss, he's got Butler back in it, even without Trevor Lacy and all those guys. He got a guy named Pride that gets it done for Butler. He'll come on live previewing the final 48 tonight with Butler when the Griff Show continues.
The Griff Show.
Welcome back to the Griff Show. We're glad you're with us here on the program. Thanks to Jake Locker from the Titans for hanging out with us there for a few minutes. We've been covering the high school basketball championships. We'll have more on Madison Academy. Both boys and girls lost today, heartbreaking losses. We'll have reaction from them. Bama Auburn tonight, but also coming up tonight at the Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center is Butler, Jack Doss's team, getting ready once again for the final 48, or it's really the final four in their classification. And he's kind enough to join us now here on game day as they play tonight at 7:30. Coach Doss, Scott Griffin here. How in the world are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Well, this time of year, this is where you want to be, so everything is good.
Yeah, you are there, and you know, on the outside looking in, it's just like, okay, they shouldn't be there. But that's not necessarily the case, is it, with your team? I know you lost some talent, but you had some talent coming back, too.
Well, Justin Pride coming back, and it's always great to start with a point guard that's been here. This is fourth time in 5 years. So that experience really helps us, more than up us tonight.
What does he do, and what? How different is he for you this year than last year? What do you ask him to do that's different?
Well, we asked him to score, and he's really not a scorer. And so the first of the year, we had him scoring 20 a game and had a lot of people standing around, and then we had to kind of tweak it a little bit where he didn't score as much, and he's been in a transition. But lately, he has really, you know, done both. He's run the team when we need it run, and he scored when – so that's what you're looking for, a player that they can read what's going on and help us get in the right situation.
I'm familiar with a lot of your past, as you know, guys like Floyd Calhoun and others. Is he that kind of guy, or who would you say he's like from what he's trying to do right now?
Well, he's a little different than Ty. Ty was the best defense player I've ever had, and he could score whenever. He didn't have to score very much. And Justin's probably the best ball handler, pure ball handler I've ever had. So his shooting, like I said, is he's a scorer, not a shooter. And so it's Justin's, like I said, a heck of a passer and a great ball handler. And
yeah.
Of course, he's got a court presence. He's a globetrotter, really what he is. That's the best way to describe him.
Yeah. He kind of sounds Rondo-ish. Score, but can't, you know, not a great shooter perhaps, but can move the ball and dribble and get his team in the right spots, right?
He can do that. And like I said, his presence on the floor where our kids feed off of him. And like I said, he plays hard and makes the plays. And like I said, our kids pick up on that. And like I said, we've had a great, great defensive year this year.
And you've always preached that. You're always pretty good defensively, but great. Why great? Everybody buying in? Or?
Well, we have a little more quickness, and like I said, last year we played some zone and man, but this year we've been just primarily man, and like I said, the more you play it, you know, the better you get repetition. And like I said, our kids have been jumping the passing lanes and taking pride in stopping their man and dribble penetration. And, like I said, the last three games we have really, really played well, and I hope we extend that to the next couple of games.
Do you find that you have to, well, obviously you have to be playing well enough to win the area and all that, but is it imperative to be playing well at the end of the year before the area, or have you had teams do different things and still get into the Final Four?
Well, you want to play well after the area. You know, there's seven games, and we did a little different thing there that really hurt us against West Limestone. We ended up losing that game, which turned out to be the best thing for us because we got their attention. And like I said, there's different ways to do it. But so far, like I said, what we've done is a little more fire under them, and they certainly responded to what I asked them to do.
Yeah, folks listening in, Butler's held Door to 32 before that. Limestone scored, what, 36, I think, right?
Limestone
scores. Something like that. Not very much.
Yeah,
and then Ardmore, you hold to 30. So, you, I mean, you're kind of really holding guys. Do you have a switching team? Everybody can guard most places, and that makes it successful? Or is there just a bunch of greyhounds out there, and you turn them loose?
Well, we can press and trap out of it. And really what we try to do is control the tempo on both ends. And it makes it really tough for another team to run to design plays against what we do, and then that breaks them down. They get out of what they're trying to do, and like I said, they get frustrated, and so it really, you know, plays in our hands. So that's the key. We try to not let them run. We look at their weaknesses and try to exploit those.
Tonight is Escambia County. What do you know about them, and tell people how you try to prepare for a team you don't really play a lot, probably, you know?
Well, Escambia County, they've won, I think, 26 games in a row, so they're certainly confident coming in to this game. And we really don't prepare, per se, for Escambia County. We prepare for Butler and try to be the best that we can be in what our team, and then adjust to what they do. But like I said, Escambia's got a 6'4", 275-pound center that's a defensive end that's going to Southern Miss, who's got quick feet. It's been really kind of surprising. And they've got a few other athletes that I know. One kid tried to windmill, is about 6 foot and really a great jumper. So it's, you know, they're good athletes, and if you let them be good, they'll be good. And hopefully, you know, we're going to get down in stance and stop dribble penetration and give them problems.
Should be Butler 24-6 tonight. Escambia County 7:30 at the Civic Center. Finally, it's got to be hard sitting around a hotel, coach, all day. I mean, what do you do to? Do you walk through in a banquet room or something, or what? What do you do to keep everybody ready?
Not really. We came down early because of weather, so we were really here about 3 or 4 hours earlier than we expected, and so we went and watched Wolf of Madison Academy and. It didn't turn out very well at the end, but
yeah.
And we came back to the hotel. We just been waiting around. We just finished eating, and we're ready to play. We're gonna go down about 4:20 and watch midfield and Aniana play and take some notes there and be prepared to take the floor at 7:30 and show them what Butler basketball is about.
I think that's the way to do it. It usually ends up pretty good. Coach, thanks for hanging out with us a few minutes. Butler tonight against Escambia County at the Jefferson Civic Center, 24-6 going in. Jack, thanks for hanging out with us. Good luck tonight.
Thank you, Griff. God bless you.
All right, buddy. Thank you. That's Jack Doss, Butler, 24-6, 4-1 in their division, so to speak. But you look at the scores of their games, and they're defensive hounds. I mean, they're holding people to 37, 38, you know, 40. That they get after you defensively, and that there you go, why they're 24-6. And you know you're coaching when you lose a guy like Trevor Lacy. Yeah, you got Justin Pride, but when you get back there with that kind of record, that's pretty good. And why? Because he just said it. Defense first. Defense certainly does it. Other scores today, Madison County girls got beat today by Greensboro, and then the boys got beat by Greensboro. We have reaction of those games coming up. Two very tightly contested games, both of them down to the final minute, basically, and in both heartbreaking losses for Madison Academy. But again, Madison Academy on both sides, girls and boys, really not expected to be there. Both with young basketball teams, and I think maybe overachieved because of their great success and some good play, really shouldn't have been there. But they get there, they lose, heartbreakers, 58-56, the boys' final, and 58-56, the girls' final as well. So even identical scores. So tough losses. We'll have reaction on that, including Lydia McGee, fine player for the girls' team who has signed with Samford this year. 25 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a break and come back with more. We'll open the phone lines for you coming up here. 866-485-WUMP. This is The Griff Show.
The Griff Show.
Welcome back to The Griff Show. Glad you're with us here on the program. Good rocket hour there so far. Jake Locker, Titans quarterback, on the show. Also, Jack Doss joining us from Butler. As they're getting there, we're kind of used to Butler being there in the Final 48, like we are Madison Academy as well. And Madison Academy really getting all the way to the Final Four in both regards, but just unable to get it done today. Again, the boys and girls teams falling short against the same team, Greensboro. Kind of odd and ironic in both games, kind of mirror images. They went down in the final minute, and it just wasn't to be for the boys and girls from Madison Academy, as they were both staved off in their bid to get to the championship game in the 3A finals. So we'll have more on that coming up in just a moment. Other news, Alabama winning in baseball as they beat the Jaguars last night of South Alabama 4-3. South Alabama always good in baseball, and Alabama wins. And Alabama, of course, Mitch Gaspard's got a ton of freshmen throwing for him as well. And Alabama 4-3 on the year. They got to be happy to get that kind of win. Tonight, Alabama basketball shooting for their fourth straight win. Fourth straight win tonight. And they've been shooting great. Game time, 7 o'clock. The Griff Show will be there. We'll have thoughts from Tony Barbee and Anthony Grant coming up tomorrow on the show. Alabama, of course, spanking Auburn February 7th, 68-50 in that game. their worst home loss in 52 games there. The rematch tonight, 7 o'clock. It'll be on the SEC Network on television. Alabama, 31-3 in the past 2 years at home. Emotions will be high. It's a rivalry game, and it's also the game where they'll give the championship trophy from the football game at the half. It's a sellout. The only tickets you can get are student tickets. So it is a big one. Alabama can probably clinch a bye in the SEC. I was talking to Anthony Grant today at the high school championships, and you know, he had a smile on his face when I said that. LSU plays Tennessee tonight. If LSU can beat Tennessee and Alabama wins, Alabama would get the bye, and then I think they could rest Trevor Lacy another game against Ole Miss this weekend, which would be huge. He will not play tonight. The former Butler star will not play because of that bad ankle. Alabama, again, 25th in the RPI, 19-9 over year, 8-6 in the conference, and wanting to do damage against Auburn tonight. So we will see if they can get that done at Coleman Coliseum a little bit later on tonight. Freshmen have been playing terrific. We do have some thoughts from Anthony Grant, and we'll get those on as we go as well. The number to get in on the show, 866-485-9867, 866-485-WUMP to get in on the Griff Show. Jimmy Johnson suspended. Now, we talked yesterday, you know, he had that C-panel on his car that was illegal. Chad Knaus, the crew chief, has always been known to push the envelope. Well, today NASCAR announced penalties, big ones. Crew chief Chad Knaus, car chief Ron Malik have been suspended for 6 races. 6 races and a $100,000 fine on Knaus. And they're going to deduct 25 points from Johnson. So he'll be at negative 23 now because he only got 2 points from the Daytona 500. So they are suspended and on probation through the Talladega race in May. Minus 23 points, already 70 points behind Matt Kenseth. There were unapproved modifications to the C-post, which is, of course, the rear part of that car chassis that connects the roof to the quarter panel. They made it a little too thin, I think, if I remember correctly. The car 48, the only car with a problem. They were allowed to fix it and compete at Daytona since it was caught before qualifying. But since they were caught, now Knaus, car chief, suspended 6 races and placed on probation and a $100,000 fine. So not a good week for Jimmy Johnson. He wrecked early. Finished 42nd in the Daytona 500. Now his crew chief is out for 6 races. So that's huge news, and I really thought NASCAR would kind of let them be a little bit. Not the case at all. So we'll see what happens on that. 866-485-WUMP, 866-485-9867 to get in on the Griff Show. Also tonight, and I should have mentioned this talking about Alabama, is Jamichael Green's final home game. What will the reaction be for Jamichael Green? I mean, this guy's been suspended 3 or 4 times. I'm sure he's a fine kid, but he's just coming off suspension. I mean, will there be cheers? Will there be cheers because they know he's leaving? Will there be jeers and cheers? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see the reaction for his final home game tonight. You know, so we'll see. We've got some thoughts from Anthony Grant coming up here as he gets ready for Auburn tonight. You can hear that game here on the Ump. Again, tip-off at 7 o'clock and pregame at 6:30. So let's hear from Anthony Grant. He's looking for quality shots. I talked to him about that today, actually. The quality of shot that they're getting the last few games is there. They're getting them, and that's why they're hitting them. And when Alabama's hitting shots, they're a very, very good basketball team. Here is head coach Anthony Grant.
I've said all along the thing that I look for is just making sure we get quality shots, and I've got confidence and our guys in terms of the ability to make shots. And, you know, I don't think anything's really changed. I think we've been fortunate that the ball's gone in, but I think, you know, we're taking good shots, shots that guys are capable of making. And obviously, you know, I said this the other day regarding Levi, I think sometimes you just need to see the ball go in, you know, even if it's a teammate that makes a shot. I think it just helps, you know, to get some continuity and some flow to the game. So I think we've benefited from some of that.
That's Anthony Grant. Also, obviously, his team is playing better. Four straight wins after being in that funk, figuring it out from suspending the players. And while he saved the team and certainly got their attention with his ability to not worry about the NCAA tournament at the expense of disciplined players, now he's won them over and he's going to be in the NCAA tournament. So what a coaching job by Anthony Grant. And he feels like the team has responded and they're playing better right now.
I feel like we've gotten better. Yeah, I think our team has grown over the course of the year. So, yeah, I'm excited about the direction. I feel like we can continue to improve, and I hope our team does continue to improve. But, yeah, I feel like we're playing better.
Certainly, one individual is carrying this team. Not when you suspend Jamichael Green and Tony Mitchell and you still win games. So you want to talk about a team and not knowing who to stop? Alabama is growing in that area, according to Anthony Grant.
I think that's a mark of a good team. You know, anytime you have a variety of guys that can step up, you know, I think that's the mark of a team that's going to be a good team, a tough team to beat.
Auburn comes in 14-14 tonight. Tony Barbee wrestling with suspensions and injuries and all kind of things as well. He has suspended Verez Ward and Chris Denson for violation of team rules. So will the Auburn coach going through some suspensions as well? He has not said whether Ward or Denson will be allowed to play tonight. Denson, in a tweet, though, says he's going to be going to Tuscaloosa. He apologized to Auburn fans on Twitter, but who knows if he will still be there. Josh Lankford from Huntsville as well, out still with concussion syndromes himself. So Auburn's bench a little teetering on the thin side tonight going into that game. So Alabama-Auburn tonight, SEC Network again, pregame 6:30, and the tip-off 7 o'clock here on The Griff Show. 866-485-9867, 866-485-WUMP to get on the show. I just saw this. And a lot of people, Jason, you ever heard of the Monkees?
Yes, I've heard of the Monkees.
Davy Jones has died.
What?
A massive heart attack. Davy Jones, the actor turned singer, who helped propel the Monkees to just mega success in the 60s, is dead. Yeah, he died in Indiantown, where he lived. Former jockey, you remember how small he was, turned to acting, then came the lead singer for the Monkees in 1965. You remember the television show, Daydream Believer, major hit. He wasn't feeling well, having trouble breathing, taken to the hospital, pronounced dead at age 66. Survived by his wife, Jessica, and four daughters. Wow. Last Train to Clarksville, number one hit. You remember that? Man. Amazing. Just saw that on the, just thought I'd throw that in. Try to throw some music and some sports in together here on the show. 9 minutes until top of the hour here on The Griff Show. 866-485-9867. 866-485-WUMP to get on the show. And we'll have a lot more to talk about on the basketball front from Madison Academy. In fact, let's hear a little bit now from Madison Academy. Oh, this just in. Seeing this very late yesterday story. Nick Saban supposedly will be offering four-year scholarships beginning with the 2013 class, according to a report from the Tuscaloosa News. He said he's going to take advantage of the rule passed by the NCAA on allowing schools that option. Alabama voted against the measure, along with Tennessee, LSU, Texas A&M. Saban said most of the conditions are the same. The player will still have to be academically eligible, who have to obey team rules, regulations. The player is still going to have the same rights, same appeals process he has now. So Alabama will do what Auburn did this year and offer 4-year scholarships. So very interesting developments there on that deal. All right, 866-485-9867 to get it on the show. Again, Madison Academy losing today to Greensboro, and I said the score was 58-56. It was actually 60-56. They hit a couple of late free throws that I forgot about. Freshman Karan Johnson, 22 points. Eighth grader Josh Langford, 24 points. Future looks great for Madison Academy, but they weren't enough. Greensboro wins it 60-56 in that game. So we talked to the coach of Madison Academy after the game with his thoughts. Here they are.
Here with Andy Blackston, and no seniors on this team. Kind of like the kind of mirror image of the girls team, young team that I don't know if you expected to get this far, but normally you guys are here.
Yeah, we didn't make it last year, and so obviously it was a goal from the beginning of the season. And I'm just really proud of these guys because not only are we young, we don't have a senior on the team, but we also got a late start, because our football team had such a fantastic year. You know, we didn't come together as a team to have our first practice till after December. And so whereas other teams are starting, around October 15th and they're practicing all the way up, We came together really late, but the important part of that was we came together at the right time. We play our best basketball late in the year is what you want.
And you're led by Joshua Langford. He's the eighth grader, and then you got just so many young guys. They surpass expectations a little bit for you?
A little bit, but
you see them every day.
I kind of felt like we were talented. And I kept seeing them getting better. And so on paper, yeah, they're young. On paper, yeah. But they're really talented. And when they get on the court, they really don't play as young as they are. I mean, there's some maturity there in terms of basketball sense for a ninth grader and an eighth grader and a couple sophomores that really paid off for us to get here. Now, it showed up a little bit in this game.
So. Jimmy Taylor, what, about 6'9", 6'10"? 4 points, four rebounds. You would think, if I told you that before the game, you're going to win this game.
Yeah, Jimmy's a great player. He's a big, he's a tough matchup. We did a great job executing the game plan. And unfortunately, they had some other guys that stepped up and scored. And I felt like if we could neutralize Jimmy and shut some of those guys down, we would come away with a victory here. And they just squeaked some in there against us, some of those other guys. But that's how you want to go down. You want to make somebody who's not, you want to take them out, make them beat you doing something they don't normally do, and I thought we'd try to do that.
Quality shots first half, 8-16. Second half, not as good. The other coach says you got tired. You agree with that, or was the shot selection not there either?
Well, a little bit of it was the zone. I felt like our shots were unbelievable against their man. When they switched to the 3-2 zone, it's a little harder to attack because they spread out and they're big, and they're big on the back, And so I thought that was a good adjustment by him, and we did get tired late in the game. But, we're pressing, and especially when you can't take those two off the floor. When you look at our team, the guys who were tired were carrying on and Josh because they had to do so much work. And it's a great learning experience for these guys and to come down here and experience this, and hopefully we can put it together and make a run next year.
Final question, that's the key. You did get back here after a lapse last year. Not a lapse, just not making it. So a lot to build on.
A lot to build on. I can't ask more of these guys. They were totally together. Everybody was playing their role, unselfish, practiced hard, executed game plan. I mean, it's an easy post-game talk for me. I mean, we just didn't win the game. We didn't play good enough. It wasn't anything other than that. And so we can keep our head high and go on. So looking forward to next year.
Nice to meet you. Nice I appreciate you, it. Yes, sir.
All right, that is the coach for Madison Academy, Andy Walbreton, and they lose 60-56. Girls lose 58 56 as well. And we'll hear from their coach and their star, Lydia McGee, who for the final time put on the Madison Academy uniform. She'll be heading to Samford to play for Mike Morris right down the road in Birmingham. 866-485-WUMP, 866-485-9867 to get in on the show. A lot of people there at the Civic Center today. Of course, again, Butler tonight. We got a lot of teams in this thing. What do we got? We got, Hazel Green and Murphy coming up in the boys. 5A, Lee of Huntsville is there. They're going to take on Faith Academy. Butler and Escambia County tonight. Madison Academy Academy's already out for the boys and the girls. Of course, the Bob Jones girls will be playing as well against Davidson. Brewer taking on Faith Academy. And then Good Hope taking on Andalusia as well. So still a ton of Huntsville teams ready to go. It's just that the two that started it off today did not fare well in Madison Academy. So hopefully the luck will be better for all the Huntsville schools as we go. I do want to tell you about Papa John's Pizza. It's a great night to think about Papa John's with church night, or maybe you're heading down here to watch Butler a little bit later on, or maybe the 6 o'clock game for Good Hope and Andalusia. And you want to get a pizza to go before you head out. Maybe you're doing it again just to see before church. You want to give them a call at Papa John's Pizza. They got the better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. We tell you about them all the time. And we also remind you that you should go online in order to, if you're listening to The Griff Show at 730theump.com, you can go online, order your pizza, get double points for that. Double points. And they'll keep a running tab, basically, of your point system so you can earn some free pizzas. If you're calling and you're around the area, if you're in the downtown location, 533-7272 is the number to get in on that. Madison area, for you folks maybe driving back from Madison Academy, you don't want to go home and fix dinner after tough losses, give them a call at 772-3111, 772-3111. Get your Papa John's pizza and put a smile on everyone's face for the rest of the day. Good first hour on The Griff Show. Hour number two staring us right in the face. Come on back, folks. This is The Griff Show on the Ump.